Playing a little R&B, I see.
Yeah, I thought you'd like this one. This is more your style, I think. More your groove. You don't like that rock stuff. This is good. You like this, right?
Yeah, it's a great song.
I was watching. I was up at like 4 o'clock in the morning one day last week, and like the making of Motown or some show was on, and I just couldn't stop watching it.
You got stuck watching it.
I got stuck. I couldn't, you know, with what was with Hitsville and Otis Redding and this guy and that guy and all the, it was amazing, the whole thing, so. All right, you ready, sir? We'll get this show on the road in a moment here, get the music down.
Next week's show that we're doing on Monday, or is it when?
No, I don't know. I'll email you. I'll write this down. Mm-hmm. Let me write down email. I think it's after the first of the year. Email.
Maybe it's January.
It is. It's in January. Dates for Mondays. Don't fear people listening right now. We'll be there for you. All right, let me turn this off.
A day early.
Yeah,
but day early, but no dollar short.
They'll never know. They'll never know.
Yeah, it's next year.
It is next year, yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. Got to do something here. Okay, that's done. Okay, here we go. Not really. Yep.
Hello, and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 9th of December. Mm-hmm. It is a 5-show month for us, 9th of December 2025.
Is it 5, really?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be one of those weird... So what do you think of this? Is this the best setup for a Christmas and New Year's where you have... We probably talked about this before, but I'm just so excited about the... Wednesday, Thursday, and then who cares about Friday on 2 weeks in a row? Wednesday night, yeah. You know, Wednesday being the eve and then the day.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Big anyway. Holiday.
Yep. All right, let's talk about what's going on. We're going to announce today the participants for the Close to the Pin Cup 2025. Once again, if you're on this list, it is now officially open for you to place your best guess at what price the Dow Jones Industrial Average will close at the end of the year 2025. And by doing so, if you win, you enter an elite class of individuals in the world, dare I say the universe, that have an impeccable record at looking at whatever you look at, whether it's fundamentals, charts, or just pluck it right out of your butt, the price in the future of a stock. And we sometimes go about 3 to 4 weeks. That's pretty good if you can nail that stock price that far in advance. So make sure to check the emails that are coming your way. Another one and the last and final will come probably in about a week. We have lots of execs moving around all of a sudden. It's like the time of year that people are moving from here to there. As a matter of fact, we have a few of them that we're going to talk about tonight. I just saw one on the news that the CEO from a new, relatively new IPO, Hinge, which is a, if I'm not mistaken, Hinge Health is a virtual physical therapy company. Have you gone to physical therapy before?
No, I never have.
I got to tell you, I'm not a big believer in, sorry, all your chiropractors, just tune out for a second. Not the biggest believer in all the chiropractic stuff that they could crack my back and all of a sudden I'm cured of my sinus ailments, whatever it is. But physical therapy, I got to tell you, there's a lot of times from the various things. You know, I play a lot of pickleball, which we changed the name, by the way. It's no longer pickleball.
We?
Yeah, the group at large has changed it from pickleball to cripple ball.
To what?
Cripple ball.
Cripple, because it's crippling people?
It's bad. People always get hurt.
How's that work?
Well, people that are in...
Worse than squash or tennis or real games?
Yes, because people who are not in shape feel that they can go out there without stretching one little bit, or they try to go, they try to pedal backwards for a ball in ill-fitting sneakers and end up smashing themselves in the. I've literally played with 94-year-olds, and I forgot his name.
He was feel guilty.
No, well, you know, you just hit it to him. You hit it towards him, they can hit it back to you. Hit it anywhere left or right, they can't get it. But
why
this
would you hit it toward him?
Well, yeah. I mean, so we can get it at least. I've seen a lot of people's, you know, face plant. I almost face planted last week. I was going after a low ball that was pretty far in front of me. It dropped and it wasn't coming up. So I went and I leaned over and I'm like, uh-oh. You know, one of those moments that you lose your balance.
Yeah, you can correct that by quickly tucking your shoulder and rolling.
You could do that, but I stayed up.
No, that's better if you can do that.
Yeah.
But then you look clumsy.
I did. I looked, I was like, you know,
If you tuck your shoulder, roll over, and then jump right back up, that looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. But I would end up like getting all sorts of scarring and probably need stitches and break my shoulder.
Wear leather.
Yeah.
Wear leather when you play pickleball.
I am not a good faller. Are you a good faller?
I've fallen a few times in my life.
I'm not a good faller.
Not off of a motorcycle going 100, though, I have to say.
Oh, that's good. Good to know. Especially down in Florida, where you're not required to wear a helmet.
It's part of population control.
Yeah. It's that, or it's Darwinian, but Darwinianism at its best, right? Survival.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so we have also talking about a chocolate craze. I think you're a chocolate lover, if I'm not mistaken.
Trumpet.
Chocolate. What is happening?
Chocolate.
Checking.
No, it's a little muddy, but it's not bad enough for me to complain about it.
Chocolate. We're going to talk about chocolate.
Could be you.
Yeah. In the markets, NVIDIA gets the green light. That is the word of the day. It's green lighted. I don't know what is happening, but I've heard that word several times over the last few days. And this whole NVIDIA thing is all about President Trump has green lighted.
Yeah, you're actually pretty good at spotting these things early.
Yeah, thank you. Have you heard these?
You mentioned it. I have now, but I have not spot. I didn't spot it. You did.
Yeah, every time you see, you know, like the one we always talk about, the one that's very, very basic. But when they talk about the Fed's, the PCE gauge, the Fed's preferred gauge of inflation, that always seems to follow. This is now, green lighting has been following a few things, but one in particular is about NVIDIA, greenlit by President Trump to sell AI chips, the H20s, H20s, and that breed of chips to China. So that was the big news. That was the first thing. Everybody's all excited. Oh my God, NVIDIA's going to do so great. Then they said, well, and then you get more information. You get the filler. We'll talk about that. Interesting things, what it really means here. We're waiting for the ECO. We have some ECO that's coming out. That's economic indicators. Over the next 2 weeks, pretty important stuff. And interestingly enough, we also have a Fed meeting that they don't have the ECO, but they're going to make a decision anyway tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time, following up by the presser at 2:30 as well. So if the markets don't react well to the actual report and what they do, they could just course correct during their presser.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah. Oil dropping, gas prices dropping slightly, kind of interesting. I saw $2.59 for regular unleaded gas down here.
Yeah, $4.50 here in California.
Yeah, almost double. That's because you got those crazy taxes.
Oh, crazy taxes and a special blend that only two refineries can make.
Who gave them that contract?
Well, I mean, any refinery can make it if they want to, but it's just that nobody wants to. The question is, who pushed this sort of thing through? That would be Newsom.
Well, and the thing is that, of course, it's all for the environment. And
makes a huge difference.
Right. What's important to understand is that since there's a lot of electric vehicles in California, we know that. And this blend that is quite much more friendly to the environment. California, the air above California is much better than it is, let's say, in New Mexico.
Yes. Yeah, we have good air. I mean, I particularly have good air here, but I don't think it has as much to do with the gasoline as it does with the ocean breeze.
So if you have the ocean breeze coming over, actually the cities and states that are to the east of you are getting the benefit of your cleaner air because of the fuel that's being used.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, sure.
But the thing about the oil prices coming down a bit that everybody's all excited about, and the gas prices coming down in certain places, maybe 10 or 15 cents, but still, I mean, it was $2.99 last week. Now it's, like I said, $2.59. That, it's good and bad. On one hand, it's good because, well, we know, of course, that other thing that we've picked up on, that when gas prices are down, it's good for the consumer. Gas prices up don't affect the consumer. Somehow, magically. That's Economics 101 from the Talking Heads on TV. But the reality here is that the reason that gas comes down, usually commodity prices come down, is a lack of spending, lack of buying, lack of necessity, and estimations out on the forward curve that show that there'll be less usage. So therefore, trucks, planes, boats, cars, it's going to be used less, and that's a big concern when things start coming, when prices are coming down. So, we had inflation come out last week, the PCE, the Fed's preferred gauge of inflation, a little lighter than expected. However, and I'm going to say that again, however, inflation is not lower, prices grossly above where they were 2-3 years ago. Inflation is still running at about 3%. It was slightly lower in markets. Got all, everybody's like, oh, look at that. Inflation's coming in. It's ridiculous. The Fed's going to cut anyway. And because there's about a 90% chance based on Fed fund futures that they're gonna cut. And all this other stuff in between is really just noise. It doesn't matter what inflation is doing right now. They don't care. They're looking at not surprising the markets. The markets are, you know, you want to talk about, everybody's all tizzy about, oh, you know, Trump's going to appoint Kevin Hassett, Trevor Walsh, or one of these other guys that are going to be his puppet, right? That's the whole line that's going on.
Yeah, I keep hearing stuff like that, but wasn't Jerome Powell his pick too?
Jerome Powell was his pick. That's a good point.
Well, how's that worked out?
He was dovish. He was relatively dovish in the beginning. The difference is that this time around in Trump 2.0, people are crazy about the fact that they think that Trump will be the one in charge. Where 1.0 was like he still played by the rules. Now, rules are out the window. He's going to hell with the independence of the Fed. That's the theory. That's I'm just telling you what people are thinking.
Yeah, that's just the same old you keep hearing from the Trump haters.
Yeah, exactly. So the issue is that he's probably going to appoint a Hassett, either the small neck guy or the big shirt neck guy, either one. I told you, 16-inch neck with a 19-inch collar. And ill-fitting, to say the least. And
he was on Kudlow today.
He could be the daughter of Yellen, the son of Yellen.
He has a funny round face, a little bit like Yellen.
Yeah, and a weird smile.
He'd be the son, probably not the daughter. Yeah, but son, you never know in today's
son of Yellen. Son of Yellen. And so the markets are the one that is really manipulating the Fed. It's not the president at this point. It's not the Fed itself, it's the markets, because if the markets have a 90% chance probability of a rate cut, and they don't, John, what's going to happen?
The market's going to collapse.
Yeah, it's going to be a big problem.
Into a heap.
Yeah. So they can't do that, because that would necessitate a cut.
That's no good.
Yeah, so that would necessitate a cut. So they know that the market's got them by the short strings, and they're just going to follow along. So it's interesting. Nobody complains about that issue. That who knows what the manipulation by the market makers on the Fed fund futures are to force that particular level of probability that's then being fed back to directly forward, not no back channel, I mean directly to the Fed here. And it's simple, let the others follow along. Kind of interesting point. What the Fed has seen, though, is even though there is a data lag because of the shutdown, that we saw in 2025, as of early December, right about a couple of days ago, we have reports that show that U.S. employers have announced about 1.1 million job cuts so far in 2025, which is the highest level since, you guessed it, the start of the pandemic in 2020. That's a big number.
Yeah, it's not good.
And what was said not to happen was that AI would not be taking jobs away. No. Not. Listen, AI has an incredible efficiency rating. It could handle things like basic legal work, maybe even research. It could handle writing. It could handle all sorts of summarization of very, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you know, you could put a big document, for that matter, a book, into just upload it and say, give me a, you know, a 2-page summary of this. You know, 100-page document, get a 2-page summary or something of that nature. Point is that there's a lot of jobs that potentially we know that could be lost, and they were, you know, everybody's like, no, it's not going to happen. Well, the report shows that the losses, the 1.1 million jobs, have been driven by tech integration like AI, economic shifts, soft consumer spending, in government, tech, retail, and warehousing. Now, the warehousing one is, I thought, was interesting.
What's AI doing there? I blame all these job losses to AI too, but only the excuse of AI. Let's fire these people and then tell them it's AI.
No, I agree. So, in fact,
it is AI.
Yeah. I think so. Is that what you think, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I don't see any AI doing actual replacement. I'm seeing, you know, every once in a while a robot comes along and calls you on the phone. I suppose some of these are driven by AI, but those are identifiable. I hang up on them. It's probably costing them business.
Yeah. Well, so I think it's interesting. I think we'll see that tomorrow. I think that everybody believes that, that this is going to happen. So let's call it right now. What is your bet?
Yeah, it's going to be reduced by the quarter point.
I think it's going to be quarter point too, and the potential for the usual hawkishness afterwards. You got to put, I think, those lately the thing has been that, okay, we're going to cut, but, you know, we're really current, you know, concerned about things.
Yeah, there'll be some excuses made. I mean, this has been the pattern that we've seen. I used to have a little more aggressive predictions until it just became obvious to me that the predictive market's always right.
Yeah, right.
I mean, when has it been wrong?
I don't know, but these, when you say the predictive markets, I mean the culmination of both predictive and Fed fund futures, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we're both on the same wavelength that we're going to have the potential for the probability of a rate cut by 25 basis points, and the conversation of, hey, we're going to wait and see, and they'll just talk down any kind of other major things until they see the data. So they could maintain their thing. Now, what's also going to happen here, and I think this is important and worth discussing, is that there is a period of time starting next year that if President Trump nominates or appoints a Fed governor, or says he's going to be picking this one, and then you have to go through the various hearings and things of that nature, that there's going to be a lame duck situation, and the markets are going to sniff that out.
Now, how's that working? How's that work?
Well, because it's going to be like a shadow. It's going to be like a shadow Fed. It's going to be like, okay, we're going to, if he says we're going to have Hassett, and Hassett is known to be very dovish right now and talking about lower rates. We need lower rates, no lower rates. The 2 or 3 months that he is between the nomination and the actual post is going to be you know, nobody's going to care what Powell says. Because whatever he says is going to...
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know?
Hassett also says they're going to use different calculations, and they're going to... It says the old models are no good, and they're old-fashioned, and these guys are out of touch with reality, today's reality. And they had a couple of guys on, and one of the guys all agreeing, oh, yeah, it's terrible, terrible. Models are no good. We have to change the models because they're not taking this into account and that into account. So it's going to be funny.
I mean, I think it's going to be a little bit of havoc for a little while, potentially, right?
Well, I would, yeah. Yeah, I think so. But it can't be out of control havoc.
Well, I just think people, well, you're going to see, they're going to try to make havoc out of it. That's what the markets do, right? They're going to try to push buttons.
Yeah, maybe to create buying opportunities.
Yeah.
How about that for an idea?
Yep. All right, let's go on to the green lighting. No security problems here. No. Seeking a compromise over controlling exports to China. The U.S. Department of Commerce will soon allow the export of powerful NVIDIA GPUs. What do you think about that? To China.
Yeah, well, you know, China's been trying to reverse engineer all this stuff for decades, and maybe, you know, they get some new examples of stuff to work on. They won't get anywhere.
Yeah.
It's always been baffling to me how China can't make a chip.
Hmm. Well, what's going to happen here is that these are roughly 18 months behind. And they say that they'll be willing to basically give the older technology. And it's interesting because this whole thing went on with, you know, we'll make sure there's security and safety and we're going to do this. And President Xi Jinping says it's a great deal and it's all great. And all of a sudden we see the fine print that, and by the way, this is way after the fact, this is hours after the fact, this unbelievable breakthrough, they're going to allow this to happen. The United States of America is going to take 25% of the sales.
Yeah, I know. That was a good one. They had to jack the price up 25% to pull that off.
Yeah. So, so anyway, let's see what else.
Yeah, you got to remember the Chinese, when it comes to AI, the Chinese have better AI back end. So they don't need the most modern chip to be efficient. Their software is superior. At least that's what I'm told by everyone who's looked at it.
Okay.
And they also steal the large language models to cheapen things even more.
Yeah. All right. So this thing could be gamed, in my opinion, though. I think, I think that, you know, the fact is, just like the soybean situation is being gamed right now. I'm trying to think what else is going on here. I'm a little bit lost on my own thing. Okay, here. This is it right here. I found it. China's not is buying soybeans again, but short of the President Trump's target, according to a report by CNBC. So that's kind of something interesting. When this report came out, it was like, wait a second, you know, here we go again, right? Isn't this what happened before?
You know, I don't remember the scenario for the old soybean issues. I don't understand why we keep growing this stuff if it's a pain in the ass to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But we do anyway, and everyone bitches, oh, my soybean crop. Grow something else. The soybean, it's never been grown before.
Is that all they need? They need soy sauce over there. That's what's going on. Need the soy sauce. I mean, I don't understand. It is really focused on just the soybeans, right? What about asparagus?
Yeah, there's no mention of asparagus.
No mention
of
asparagus. It's like soybean. It's got a deal. We got asparagus. Even thank God, corn. Asparagus farmers. Oh, God. Oh, that's funny. So the report comes out, and then there's kind of some quiet that, you know, everybody's like, oh, okay, well, they're short on their orders. Already a report comes out to counter that, saying, you know, no, we're extending the date. It's something to do with the farming. It has to do with, you know, the issue of the growth of the crops, and they couldn't buy enough, and this, even though they're short, they're not make. You know what I'm saying? It's like making, so it looks like that China's not in default. So that, because it's again, this game, this look, this, it's got to look a certain way. It's got to feel a certain way. It's got to, you know, we did this deal, which again, nobody said there's a final deal on any of this, a framework. You know, hey, do me a favor. Will you buy some soybeans?
Yeah,
you buy
framework. That's another code word.
Yeah. You buy some soybeans. We buy some soybeans. Buy some soybeans. Can you say you got to buy some soybeans? We'll buy soybeans. We need soybeans anyway. We'll buy soybeans. That's fine. And they don't want to look like they have mud on their face, that there really isn't a deal here. They got to keep the look and feel that they got, both sides, right? Both sides, that they got the upper hand here. So China makes it look like they're not buying enough. So you know what? We don't have a deal. We don't care what they do. We're just buying what we need. United States is like, well, we do have a deal, and we're just extending it because the growing season, due to maybe some rain in the Mauritius or somewhere, I don't know, whatever, right? Wasn't right, that blew over this particular area, and there was a swarm of locusts in this particular soybean farm. You know what? It's nuts. It's nuts.
What happened to the locusts? I mean, we're missing those there.
Where are the locusts?
Isn't there supposed to be another herd or whatever they call them? There's a name for it, a bunch of locusts when they all crop up, and there's different batches, and there's some code name for them. I can't remember what it is, but I thought we were overdue for another batch.
So let's see, locust, a swarm, a plague, or cloud?
No, there's another word when they for the group. There's different groups.
But there's a 14-year, the 28-year, something like that, the 7-year.
The cicadas, I think, is really what we're talking about here.
Oh, that's different. So cicadas. Cicada is called a brood.
Brood. Oh, I think that might be it. Yeah, these broods of cicadas, which are locust-based. I mean, they're not, but they might as well be. They have the same, you know, they come out and they just eat.
Yeah, there's the brood. The brood with Roman numerals 17 is the 17-year cycle. The brood 13 with Roman numerals is the 13-year cycle of the cicadas. And they're loud.
Oh, I've been, yeah. Actually, I was in, when I was a little kid, first time I ran into them, I was a little kid. I was living in Chicago, and it was a brood year. And holy mackerel, it's a din.
Oh, and they leave all their stuff everywhere.
Oh, and they fall on you. It's a mess, and it makes a racket.
Billions of insects. So what's the difference? Now you got my going here. What's the difference between a locust and a cicada?
I think a locust is more of a grasshopper.
Yeah, locusts are destructive swarming grasshoppers that devour crops, while cicadas are mostly harmless, large-eyed insects known for loud buzzing and long underground cycles.
Yeah, and they come out to mate.
Where do you get this?
Every 13 years.
Which is it?
Hey, buddy.
And they come out horny. Let me tell you, they come out
and they don't eat. They just eat and they don't do. It's a horrible bug.
Yep. Where else do you get this kind of information? See, I say this all the time. Where are you going to get this kind of mix of recipes, finance, and bugology?
Bugology. Very, very rare on most podcasts.
And by the way, if you think that this is something that you enjoy, you just have to go and do something. So bottom line is, go to DH Unplugged, find that little button, the happy button, the yellow happy button, and
it says donate.
It does say donate. Like do nate. Yeah, click on it and make it happen, especially in this time of the wonderful season of holidays, the time of gift giving and giving, where giving, it feels better than getting. Economics, yes. We talk about economics flowing again. The BLS published October PPI data with November PPI news released on January 14th. I don't really understand it. I don't understand why November PPI is being released in January.
And they had a shutdown. Didn't that have something to do with it?
Yeah, but why is the, it seems like it's late because there's going to be, CPI is coming out for November this week. October's coming out in January. The October PPI release and the November is coming out in January, but we get the CPI this week for November. What's the problem with the PPI?
It must be a bad number.
That's a good point. Excellent point. Hide it under the carpet.
To cover it up. They're gaslighting the public.
So the unemployment report will be released December 16th.
They're still working on the scenario of how to explain the bad number. It takes a skill. And they got a number there that they can't rationalize. And so they're coming up with a lot of meetings.
Need more time.
What do you think we should say about this, Bill?
Need more time to think this over.
We need more time.
Let's push it out. So the unemployment report's going to be released December 16th, which, again, is a week after the Fed decision, which goes to my point again that they don't have all their data in line in order to make a proper decision, but they're going to make it anyway. This is like having a patient in your office as a doctor, and you ordered a set of x-rays in order to make sure you have the information before you go into surgery. And your surgery is scheduled for Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And the x-rays and blood work will be there Friday. That's exactly what this is. And you decide to hell with it.
Exactly
We're doing the surgery anyway.
That's a great analogy. Yep.
We're doing the surgery anyway. The hell with it. It'll be fine.
What could go wrong?
So we have a lot of turnover at Apple, which I've now classified this particular section as Apple turnover.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a pun. If I was writing for one of the financial journals like I used to, I'd definitely use it.
Yeah, you gotta steal it. Yeah, definitely. Apple turnover. Not the pastry, but in the past week, Apple's head of artificial intelligence, AI, and interface design stepped down. Then the company announced that its general counsel and head of government affairs was leaving as well. All four executives reported directly to Chief Executive Officer Tim Cook. Now, remember, there's been a bit of a whispering that Tim Cook needs to go.
It's about time. Not because it's going to help the company or hurt the company, but it will hurt the company if he goes. But this is the pattern that Apple's always had when they got rid of Steve Jobs the first time, put Scully in. Scully took it to new heights, just took it way up there. And then at some point, everybody got tired of Scully. And so they kicked him out and put in some horrible CEOs that ruined the company, drove the stock into the ground, and they had to come back with Steve Jobs again. But they can't do that this time. But I think if they get rid of Tim Cook, This is the time to start thinking about dumping.
That was a fascinating time when Steve Jobs left. And I believe the first thing he did after the first time he left was create Next, right?
Yep.
And that was one of those ahead of its time, but never going to see the daylight type of project.
Yeah, it was too expensive, too advanced, no good.
Did you ever work on one of those? Did you ever demo it?
I never had a Next, nope.
Did you ever see one in the wild?
Yeah, I saw. They were here and there. Yeah, they were available.
That was some fascinating time. That was definitely an interesting time when, I mean, it may seem like paltry now, but it was the beginnings of that whole, you know, war between MS-DOS, IBM-DOS, Apple structure, and then, of course, the ultimate stealing of Windows. That wasn't anything that Microsoft stole from Apple or anything.
They were working on that while they were pretending to be OS 2 aficionados in partnership with IBM. And then they pulled the rug out from under IBM, and the rest is history.
Yep. Anyway, so a lot of little things going on. But the whispering that Tim Cook was leaving, maybe this could be some of the work that's being done in advance of that to make sure that the that level, that suite of management team is solid, that could be good for the next person coming in, so that the transition at that point will be smooth.
Yeah, not going to work.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. Berkshire's also having some movement. So this is a buffet turnover, I guess. Todd Combs, one of Warren Buffett's investing lieutenants and the CEO of GEICO, is departing Berkshire Hathaway and joining J.P. Morgan Chase in a new role as part of a major shakeup involving both firms. Combs is leaving Berkshire Hathaway in his role leading GEICO to run the bank's new investment group as part of its wider security and resilience initiative announced in October. So I don't know what that exactly means. Security and resilience. It sounds like
bull crap.
Yeah, just a nice sounding something that nobody exactly knows what you're doing. But he's going there. It must be a big job. If he's leaving Berkshire, I mean, that's a big position he's leaving. CEO of Geico, big part of the Berkshire Hathaway team. So
something's up. I think this has something to do with JP Morgan Chase.
It's also interesting how close Berkshire and Apple are, if you think about it. Warren Buffett and Tim Cook. I wonder if there's some interplay there. Is Apple going to merge with Berkshire?
No,
I don't think so. I mean, Berkshire's been reducing its shares in Apple for some time now.
Yeah, well, that would preclude a merger. I mean, that's right. You want to increase your shares, wouldn't you? I don't know of anybody that does a merger by dumping stock.
That would be tough. In the world of AI, as we continue, because technology is just a big part of the news cycle right now. You know, one of the things that we've seen over the years, the continuation of the failures of any goggles, Googles, glasses, whatever that has virtual reality.
A new set coming out.
A new one. Warby Parker and Google announced the first lightweight AI glasses developed through their partnership and expected to launch in 2026. What would be different about these? Because the rest of them have failed miserably, right?
Well, they're annoying. There's a bunch of people that they get them, you know, these people with more money than, you know, sense, they grab these glass or more money than they need. They grab these glasses as a lark and then they wear them around and people get mad at you. I mean, I had a guy pull a pair of glasses on me a couple months ago, puts them on and he starts talking to me. He's got the glasses on. He's recording me. It would probably work better if they didn't have a light on the glasses that shined in my face as it was recording. It might have been a little more surreptitious.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous. Things, you know, it's like, hey, take those glasses off.
I will tell you, in the world of AI, I've been checking out different things. I just downloaded Grok. And I'm using one of the voices, one of the personalities that they have on Grok is this like lazy, semi-curmudgeonly... surfer dude kind of personality.
Hey, man.
You want to hear him? We got to ask him a question.
Yes,
so let's see. What question should we ask him? We should say,
is the Fed going to reduce its interest tomorrow, and what is going to happen in January?
We'll prompt him. Is the Fed going to reduce interest rates tomorrow, and does anybody really care?
Whoa, yeah. Wall Street cares a ton. They're glued to it, pricing in like an 85 to 90% shot at a quarter point cut tomorrow. Regular folks, most are already baked in, mortgage rates aren't crashing overnight, and holiday shopping's basically done. So markets will twitch, but your average person's just like, cool, cheaper loans eventually?
That stunk.
Well,
I was hoping for a Spicoli voice from, you know, the Ridgemont High movie.
Oh, here we go. Dude, what's happening?
Markets are chill but twitchy. Waiting on that Fed decision
tomorrow.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Futures
anything else?
All right. Quarter-point cut.
Okay, that's got
like it.
Yeah, what else? What else? I mean, give me some good news.
See, this is an example of AI productivity.
Good vibes rolling in. Tech's quietly ripping again. NASDAQ's up another
ripping,
half percent
man.
After hours on AI hype. NVIDIA touching new highs like it's nothing.
That's boring.
Unemployment.
But anyway, I asked him something yesterday, like, hey, where's a good place to go in India? And he gives you this, like, hey, you go to Mumbai for this, you go to this place for the weed, you go to this place for the chicks. And you know what? The truth is, who wants to go there anyway? Just Google it and look what's going on. Don't bother going. he can be kind of snarky. Netflix announced Friday it reached a deal to buy pieces of Warner Brothers Discovery, bringing an end to the dramatic bidding process, and so Paramount, Skydance, and Comcast. Now, fast forward. They're offering $27.75 per share. Others are offering $30 in cash. The $27.75 is backed by the Ellison Family Trust, and there's also a lot of money that's potentially going to back it or be involved in it from the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, etc. President Trump is, of course, in the business of the regulatory environment and all this. He's the new, you know, Lina Khan, if you will, is overseeing the you know, FTC and all these other places. And he's basically said, well, it's maybe a little tough one to clear. There's a $2.8 billion breakup fee if Warner Brothers pulls out, and $5.8 billion reverse breakup fee if the deal is just not approved at all, that will be paid by Netflix. But the deal went hostile today with the $30 per share cash offer, which is superior to the $27.75, obviously.
Well, a lot of observers have it in mind that this is a smokescreen, the Ellison bids and all the rest of it, to force a deal to go through faster, sooner than later, so they can pick up CNN. And so Larry Ellison can have control of CNN before the primaries of this year's election cycle, so CNN can be blocked from becoming a big rah-rah a news operation for the Democrat Party, because Trump's going to need everything he can do, is need every all help that he can get to stave off a Democrat rally in the midterms, because if they take the House, he will get impeached
again. But he was impeached
the third time. The way I see it, could be the third and fourth time. They might go for
Why not? Just keep going.
You know, you got the record already, but you know, so you can't. It doesn't hurt to get even more in.
But if he gets impeached, what is it? Is that anything? There's nothing there.
No, there's nothing there, and the Senate won't do anything about it. But it slows down the legislative wheels to a standstill.
I mean, looking back, Nixon would look at this now and say to himself, boy, was I a schmuck to resign. Right?
Well, Nixon had another issue, because Nixon's Republican buddies told him that they're going to join on get on board. But this never happens with the Republicans and Trump. But that's what happened with Nixon. And Nixon really was kind of forced out by his own party, not by the Democrats.
Yeah, yeah. Oracle, speaking about Ellison, reporting earnings after the close on Wednesday. Remember what happened last time. This company is the poster child for that vendor and circular financing. You sent me a rather lengthy but excellent article from Substack on the whole circular financing and this whole thing, this whole game, right?
Yeah, it's a good one.
A good one. Good information. Great stuff. And we identified this, you and I don't know.
A month ago.
Well, no, it has to be 3 months ago. I'll tell you why.
Well,
at least
three months ago.
Because when Oracle, when
that's
the earnings.
Oh, yes, right. That's when Oracle was pumping its stock.
Yeah, so that's when the OpenAI announcement came out on the day, I believe it was on the day of their earnings. So that was 3 months ago. So.
Yes, if anyone listens to this podcast, let it be known we're ahead of the curve, and you should donate to the show.
Yeah, there you go. That's correct. Not as ahead of the curve as the man from the future, by the way.
No, man from the future will have an edge.
Yeah, the man from the future, and they all also say that that there's another show that there is a lot of future predictions that are pretty much spot on, and that's called the No Agenda Show.
Yeah, well, we're from the future.
Yeah. So the No Agenda Show, which is the best podcast in the universe, you can hear on Thursdays and Sundays, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak, riff it up pretty good. Make sure to listen. You'll enjoy it. You will enjoy it. It's fun. It's exciting. It's informative. It's educational. You probably sometimes get a little mad. You may yell a little bit at the radio or your podcast or whatever, your earphones, whatever it is. But good stuff, really great stuff. So I encourage you highly to listen to that. Now, when we're talking about the circular financing and Oracle, and identified that 3 or 4 months ago about what was going on here, Oracle shot up about 35%, has since come down. It's 221 now, was sub 200 for a while. It was 350 round number at the high. Stock has fallen roughly 35% from its September peak when it had that NVIDIA moment. And I think that tomorrow is going to be an interesting situation, because there's going to be a lot of questions they're going to need to answer that I think they left unanswered.
Yeah, should be fun.
So it's going to be interesting to watch that. And that's going to happen after the Fed decision. I'm sure they're not too thrilled about that, which is always adding some volatility. I was thinking, when I was thinking about Oracle, I was thinking about, hey, wait a second. Whatever happened to this? Do you remember not too long ago, there was something that there was a deal with TikTok?
Yeah. It's ByteDance, Oracle. Play or what's going on?
This, we had negotiations back in 2020 with ByteDance, Oracle, and Walmart, right? There was continued discussion under Project Texas for U.S. data security. There was this structure that Oracle is going to be a tech partner, U.S. investors taking a stake. It was announced, never finalized, never created into a binding acquisition, never a spinoff, never nothing. Instead, TikTok is fully owned by ByteDance. While implementing some U.S. storage and security measures through Oracle. The U.S. government has extended its deadlines so many times, but no sale or transfer of ownership ever occurred. So much winning we do, we won again. I mean, I think it's hilarious that, that there was this, excitement over this whole thing, and boom, never happened. It was more than excitement.
It's still in abeyance. So maybe there's something still going on. Maybe there's still discussions. Maybe if the news media would ask Trump or somebody, we would get some answers, but they never do.
Maybe, but if you recall correctly, the original thing was we are going to shut this down as of X date.
That was the original. Yeah, that ended shortly after everybody who uses it got irked.
Right. So, A little bit crazy, a little bit nutty, a little bit. I'm kind of curious. I'd like to find out a little bit more about this.
It has to be like a great spying tool for the CIA, it seems to me.
If they get their hands on it.
Well, whether they get their hands on it or not, they have a back door, or if they just watch this stuff, they can do dossiers. They could have a team of people just watching these screwballs on TikTok. You got to be able to put together some files that are useful.
But will China allow us to do that? I mean, you're saying if we get it and take it over and get full control of the back end?
No, I don't think we need to. I think that's what's going on here. China's probably already given the go-ahead. Okay, you guys can have you can use this data because we don't want it. Or we want it, but you can have it too. I mean, there's something going on.
I don't know. It seems to me that I don't know. It seems to me that we would have heard a little bit more about this. It was such a national emergency, such a national security concern.
It makes me think the spooks are involved.
No, we had the same thing with NVIDIA chips. It was a big national emergency. It was a big, we can't have.
Yeah, well, they got that fixed too. Same way.
Putting back doors?
Your top techies in from one of the agencies and say, what can we do here to make this so it's not going to get out of control? Well, we can do this and that. We can put a circuit here. Next thing you know, it calls home once a month. Don't worry about it.
Well, maybe.
You can't. These chips, who knows what they're up to?
I'll go with it. I just find it interesting that we have to have big announcements than nothing. Or big announcements, then a total change. Why even bother putting this out in the public? Now, there are people that are talking about, well, this administration is the most transparent that you've ever seen in the history of administrations. Okay, that's one explanation. Another one is because, if they do something and then it doesn't go their way, they don't talk about it again. They don't want anybody to know about it. I don't know. Maybe it's confusing.
It's negotiation.
Publicly.
Publicly, yes, exactly. I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
Okay, well, I'll have to ask somebody else. All right, private credit. Private markets investing startup Yield Street now changed its name to Willow Wealth. Should probably be called Widow Wealth. Recently informed customers of a new default on real estate projects in Houston and Nashville. $41 million in new losses. This comes on the heels of $89 million in marine loan wipeouts. This is big money we're talking about here. It's not in the billions. So it's not going to move the needle on, the market of this. But this is, again, possibly a canary in the coal mine, once again, about private credit that I've been telling you that I'm getting nervous about. too many little pieces of information.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I'm not getting nervous about it, but if you listen to the other people that are like yourself, there's a lot of people that are worried about this.
Yeah, it seems
they're
to me that
about private credit, yeah, private equity, they're worried about all this stuff behind the scenes that's going on.
Yeah, the one reason is it's illiquid assets, and illiquid assets are very tough to liquefy. And in a time when they're going down, when you want to liquefy them and you can't, not a good situation.
Actually, when things are, yes. In fact, when things are going down in a certain way, you can't get out.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So this is a total loss of about $208 million on this one particular thing. They've changed the name. By the way, do you know why they changed the name to Willow Wealth?
There's a person named Willow?
No, because now nobody can think of them as Yield Street, which is a bad name. So they just changed their name.
They just basically poisoned the well for their old name.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah, this is a nice sounding name, Willow Wealth.
Yep. Mm. They also removed a decade of historical performance data from their websites that they had on. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's another good trick.
Yeah.
We just put up phony numbers.
Yep. All right, let's talk about chocolate. You like chocolate. Are you
Everybody likes chocolate.
Well, some people like certain types of chocolate. Do you like milk chocolate, white chocolate, dark chocolate?
I like all three. I like dark chocolate the most. I like white chocolate a lot, even though I don't consider it chocolate. It's because it's kind of a, I don't know what it is. And then milk chocolate is like the laggard because it's really just watered down dark chocolate.
Yeah. Now, have you had this new chocolate bar that is a craze sweeping the world? The Dubai craze, the Dubai chocolate craze?
Yeah, I have a bag of these Dubai bars.
Yes, and?
They're too sweet.
Because they're the milk chocolate, that's first of all. And the pistachio cream is extraordinarily sweet.
It's ridiculous. I don't like them.
So this is, if you haven't had it, this is a bar that it was created in, supposedly it was created in 2021, went viral in 2023 due to social media, the social. It has inside, like, it's almost like a sandwich. Let's call it a sandwich of milk chocolates. And inside in the filling is pistachio cream, which is often blended with tahini for a nutty, slightly savory note.
Yeah. It doesn't taste anything like pistachios per se.
Yeah. And, kadayif, which is shredded phyllo pastry for crunch. So you get that kind of a crunchy thing in there too. Which you would think you'd get the crunch from the pistachios if they left a little bit coarsely ground.
To me, it always reminds me of the chocolates that have a